One of the things about being a Christian, living like a Christian, is we have to think clearly and we have to act rightly. So, how do we do that? Well, thanks to our brother Paul, here in Philippians chapter 4, he tells us exactly what we need to know. So, thank you, brother. We sure appreciate you. Always seems to be there with just the things that we need. So as we look at this passage tonight, we're going to ask Paul, how do we think and how do we act like a Christian? Well, certainly that begins with thinking like a Christian should. And Paul uses here the word finally. Now, that could mean a couple of things. It could mean it's just the end of what he's had to say. Or, as in the case, I believe, here with Paul, he is putting an exclamation point on what he has already said. And so what is that? Well, we have to back up a couple of passages of Scripture here in Philippians chapter 4. And verses 4 through 7, and there Paul has given us some characteristics of a Christian. He says that we need to be rejoicing people. We need to have a gentle spirit before all men. That we don't need to worry. And that in everything, by prayer and supplication, that our thanksgiving be made known unto God. And so now he says, and finally do this. Finally, think like a Christian ought to think. And how is that? Well, he tells us that we need to think on the things that are true. This just means things that are genuine, things that are real. Then he says things that are honorable. The NIV says noble. The CEV says pure. The AB says worthy of reverence. It just refers to lofty things, majestic things, things that lift our mind from that which is cheap, that which is mundane, and lifts us to that which is noble and that which is good and that which is of moral worth. And then he said, think on the things that are right. Right, whether it's right before God or right, whether it's right before men. We just need to do what's right. And that's what a Christian does. Whether it's profitable or not profitable, if it's right, you do the things that are right. And that comes by thinking that way. And then he said, think on the things that are pure. That comes from the same root word as holy. It's hagos in the Greek. And it just means the things that are undefiled. And then he said, dwell on the things that are lovely. Refers to that which provokes love or has love as a response. Love or lovable. And then he said the things that are of good report, which simply means to be well spoken of. People ought to talk good about us. We ought to be living a kind of life that people say, you know, that's a good guy. I like having him for a neighbor. I like having him for a friend. I like having her for a co-worker. I like having him for a boss. Just those kind of things. And this list of qualities is followed by this in verse 8. If there's any excellence, and if there's any, these things are worthy of praise. Using this kind of rhetorically, like, if there's any excellence, and there is, And if there's any praiseworthy, and there is, then what should our response be? And Paul says that response is that we should dwell on these things. I wasn't sure how that was on there, so we'll get caught up here. Dwell on these things. By dwelling on these things, Paul is saying we need to focus our thoughts on these things. There are two major discoveries by psychology in our lifetime, and that is that our thoughts control our life. We are controlled by our thoughts. And the other thing is that we can control our thoughts. Our thoughts control us, and we have the ability to control our thoughts. And so what that literally means is that each one of us has the power to control his or her life. Now, already some are thinking, well, you know, preacher, I try sometime, but I just can't always control my thoughts. Sometimes I have bad thoughts. What do I do about that? Well, one preacher put it this way. He said, these impure thoughts, they're like birds. You can't keep them from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. And so the question is not, will we have them? But the question is, will we dwell on them? So that's where we need to focus in our thinking. But then Paul then goes on to say, well, when you get your thinking right, you're just part of the way through, because now you have to act like a Christian. It's insufficient to think like a Christian if you don't act like a Christian, is what Paul is saying here. In verse 9, he says, these things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So this acting like a Christian, Paul says, begins with right teaching. He says, you have heard it. You have learned it. You have seen it. And you have received it. Now, put this into your life. Paul is just simply saying, you gotta know the rules. And that's true in anything and everything that we do. We need to know what the boundaries are. And that comes by learning the rules. In the years that I've coached everything from the little peewee wee wees to high school ball. And in every age group, one of the things, first thing we do is make sure that they know the rules. You can't run past this line, it's out of bounds. You can't grab a hold of a defender and hold him, because that's a penalty. You have to wait until the ball is snapped, or that's motion. And all of these things will cause you to be set back. You're going to be penalized for not doing the rules, knowing the rules, or not practicing the rules. And so the Christian life is no different. Knowing what to do as a Christian. So where does that come from? Well, it comes from the Scriptures, because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that every man might be complete and thoroughly furnished with every good work. So we're right back to where we are over and over and over again in our studies. And that is, You've got to get in the book. We have just got to get into the scriptures more. And that has to come with a personal decision. Because I'm telling you, this is not enough. It's a great start. We have awesome teachers. I'm so pleased with the abilities that we have in this congregation. We have some awesome teachers from our adult classes right down through our little ones. But it's not enough. It's not enough for Sunday morning. It's not enough for Sunday night. It's not enough Wednesday night. We have got to make more time to study God's Word. And then Paul said that acting like a Christian not only comes with right teaching, it comes with right training. Because he says in verse 9, when you have heard these things, when you have learned these things, when you have seen these things, when you have received these things, then what you do is you practiced these things. Presso is the word used here, and it denotes habit. You practice these things until they become a habit, Paul says. You do these things, you live these things, you act these things, you study these things, so that they become a habit to you. Back to the ball for just a minute. We go over and over and over the same play over and over again. And the reason why we do that as coaches is because we want to try to make that a response. If you've got to stop and think about blocking this guy, that little split second between thinking and simply reacting, because you've done it enough, you know what you've got to do, can mean the difference in blocking your defender or he gets through and sacks your quarterback. And the same thing is true in a Christian, as a Christian. Becoming habitual, knowing what God expects of us, and simply responding to that because you are a Christian. That means that you come to church. That's the reason why the Lord says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner some is. But exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Because you know the more you come, the more it becomes just a part of your life. And so your kids don't have to get up on Sunday morning and say, Mother and Daddy, are we going to church? Because you have created in them, in their lives, a habit that you hope and pray to God will be ingrained enough that that's what they'll do whenever they grow up and leave the house. But it's important, because you know whenever you miss, then it's easier to miss the next time, and not hard at all the next time. They tell us that if you miss services 3 weeks in a row, that you have already created a space there that can be filled and often is filled with something else. And that's just how short a time it takes to get out of a good habit. So Paul is saying here, just do what comes natural for a Christian to do. And then in his closing thoughts in verse 9, Paul returns back to the theme of peace, where he says, and the God of peace will be with you. In verse 7, he talks about the peace of God. Now he talks about the God of peace. And so what Paul is saying through all of this is that if you want the peace of God, then you have to think clearly and you have to act rightly. And so tonight, if you're not thinking like a Christian ought to think, or you're not acting like a Christian ought to act, and we can help you in any way to do that better, then please, as your family, give us that opportunity. Come, all together, we stand and sing.